Hello, and welcome to the Bible Difficulties and Answers podcast. I'm your host, Lance Smith. Today, we continue our multi-week podcasts focusing on Cain. We have a very interesting question to ponder as to why Cain wasn't given capital punishment, in essence, the death penalty, for his murder of Abel. Is this another example of God showing his graciousness to man? Or was the punishment Cain received actually worse than death? Finally, did Cain really receive two punishments for his one crime? As usual, I present a number of different opinions from my research and conclude with my own thoughts. Show notes will include links to all we discuss. Are you ready to dive in? All right, let's learn together. We're going to read Genesis 4, verses 12 and 13 from the New Living Translation. Verse 12, "No longer will the ground yield good crops for you, no matter how hard you work. From now on, you will be a homeless wanderer on the earth." Now, verse 13. Cain replied to the Lord, "My punishment is too great for me to bear." All right, let's take a look at the problem as defined by the Big Book of Bible Difficulties. In the Old Testament, murderers were given capital punishment for their crime. Genesis 9, 6, that's the covenant with Noah, and Exodus 21, 12, the law of Moses. Yet Cain was not only set free after murdering his brother, but he was protected from any avenger. That's what we see in Genesis 4, verse 15. Now, the solution that comes from the Big Book of Bible Difficulties is kind of a long one, so bear with me here. And I quote, "There are several reasons why Cain was not executed for his capital crime. First, God had not yet established capital punishment as an instrument of human government. Only after violence filled the earth in the days before the flood did God say, 'Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man.'" That's Genesis 9, 6. Further, who would have killed Cain? Cain had just killed Abel. At this early stage, only Adam and Eve were left. Surely God would not have called upon the parents to kill their only remaining son. Now quickly, back to me. I do not think Adam and Eve are the only remaining people on earth, and there's some good scholarship behind this belief. However, it's too much to get into right now for this podcast episode. Now, continuing on with the Big Book of Bible Difficulties and their solution, in view of this, God, who alone is sovereign over life and death, personally commuted Cain's death penalty. However, in doing so, God implied the gravity of Cain's sin and implied he was worthy of death by declaring that the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me for vengeance from the ground. That's verse 10. Nonetheless, even Cain seemed to recognize he was worthy of death. And he asked God for protection that we see in verse 14. Finally, God's promise to protect Cain from vengeance implies capital punishment would be taken on any who took Cain's life, verse 15. So, Cain's case is the exception that proves the rule, and by no means does it argue against capital punishment as established by God, close quote. Okay, let's start some research here to help further define a probable solution to the difficult Bible verses of Genesis 4, 12 through 13. Mike Mazzalongo, from his class number 19 of May 2014, titled "The Punishment of Cain," lists the two punishments Cain received from God. And I quote, "In this case, God does not execute the punishment due immediately, but lists the consequences of the sin in his life. Number one, the land, which was already difficult, would no longer respond to him," that's Cain, "because he shed innocent blood. And number two, he will become a wanderer. He's allowed to live, but his life would be an unpleasant one," close quote. Now, continuing on, from the November 15th, 2013, Tidings.org article titled "The Way of Cain, Crime and Punishment," it says, and I quote, "It seems as though God pronounced a double curse on the earth, in so much as it concerned Cain. Therefore, he not only experienced the general curse felt by all as a result of Adam's curse, but his toil specifically was so difficult that it had the effect of driving him from the ground. As a result, Cain was forced to abandon his vocation as a farmer and instead had to find other means to feed himself and his family. Thus, in time, as he wandered in the land of Nod, he naturally began hunting and gathering. This transformed Cain from a farmer into the first hunter-gatherer." Back to me. Remember last week's podcast where Cain's sacrifice, which was not accepted by God, was a grain and or fruit offering. Now, as part of his lifetime punishment, he is no longer able to feed himself or his future family by any sort of farming. No matter how hard he worked or what steps he took, all efforts now and in the future for Cain were destined for complete failure. Imagine one day that your livelihood is completely and forever taken away from you. What would you do and how would you react? I'm sure for Cain, this is a fate he considered to be worse, knowing each day he would have to hunt and gather his own food without exception. Let's continue on with our research. A gotquestions.org blog post, "Why Wasn't Cain's Punishment Death?" Genesis 4:14 says, and I quote, "The punishment he received was severe. Cain believed it to be worse than death. He replied to God, 'My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me.'" That's Genesis 4, verses 13 through 14. Previously, Cain had been a tiller of the ground, as we recall back from Genesis 4, verse 2. So this particular punishment took away his livelihood. In addition, Cain feared death at the hands of another person. To prevent others from killing Cain, God marked him somehow. What type of mark is uncertain. Instead of being put to death, Cain was forced to live the rest of his life with unfruitful work and the guilt of having killed his brother. An interesting aside as to why capital punishment was not given to Cain comes from Don Stewart in his article, "Why Wasn't Cain Put to Death for Killing His Brother?" And I quote here, "The fact that Cain was not put to death for killing Abel is not an argument against capital punishment. God had not yet instituted this procedure for those who took a life. Even though Cain was not put to death, he recognized that this would be a fair punishment for what he had done," close quote. Now, as we found in our earlier research on this podcast, it's helpful to go back to the earliest Hebrew translations to help us understand. Here, Rabbi Aaron Tindler adds a specific Jewish legal explanation in his blog post, "No Death Sentence for Cain." And he asserts, it's kind of a long quote, but it's really interesting. "The Torah only says that a person may be killed when found guilty in a human biased den," that's a court. "As a matter of fact, we do not allow any testimony that is metaphysical," in other words, through prophecy or miraculous signs. "Therefore, there was simply no one to try Cain, as all mankind was either his parents or his siblings. Relatives may not serve as judges or witnesses. Additionally, Jewish law prescribes that death is only warranted when there is a warning by witnesses before the act to the perpetrator as to what punishment he will incur if he carries through his intentions. This is to ensure that the murder is actually premeditated and deserving of the death penalty. A careful reading of the verse in Genesis 4:8 indicates that murder was spontaneous and was not at all premeditated. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, in his commentary on verses 13 and 14, points out that the punishment actually given to Cain is quite similar to the punishment imposed by the Torah for careless manslaughter. He must go into exile and be in constant fear of his life, just as someone who murders carelessly must fear the relatives will kill him if he should venture forth from his exile, close quote. Now back to me. I think the research, specifically from Don Stewart and Rabbi Aaron Tindler, give us our best explanation of this difficult Bible verse. Later in Genesis, when God issued his covenant with Noah, murder would become a capital crime. And later on again, with the law of Moses, the death penalty was codified for murder as well. Obviously, Cain lived before God required death as a punishment for murder. And so God provided what was for that time an appropriate punishment. Now, while there may be just punishment given by God, as we've recently discussed here, there is also grace. As Dr. William Lane Craig from his podcast, Excursus on Creation of Life and Biological Diversity, Part 22, The Central Truths Expressed in Genesis 1 through 11, and this is from July 24, 2019, and he says, and I quote, "One of the lessons of the primeval history is that even though people repeatedly sin and rebel against God, God always responds with a gracious alternative, a remedy at least partially. When Adam and Eve sinned and they were expelled from the garden. Nevertheless, God provides them with clothing to take care of them. When Cain sins by killing his brother Abel, God puts a mark upon Cain to protect him against revenge from others around him. After the flood, God spares Noah and his family so that creation can begin again. So, again and again, although sin is inevitably followed by God's judgment is always tempered by grace. The lesson of the primeval narrative, I think, is that God hasn't given up on his original plan for which he created Adam and Eve, namely, to bless all of mankind. That plan remains intact. Close quote. All right, back to me. We see this action from God throughout biblical history. Even when the first murder is recorded of his creation, God remains gracious to Cain. But as humanity often does, despite this graciousness, we continue to move further and further away from God. Man moved from the Garden of Eden. The earth then becomes populated with different people groups, and then those groups form their own beliefs and their own heresies as well. Despite our moving away from God, he remains steadfast in his love for us and our hope for reconciliation with him. In summary, I like how we landed here with the explanation of the punishment Cain received, which was not capital punishment, and how God remains gracious to us all, regardless of our sin. Next week, we're continuing our study of Cain and his actions by exploring Genesis 4, verse 17. In fact, we're going to spend the next 2 weeks just on this one verse, with our episode titled, Where Did Cain Get His Wife? Should be really interesting. You may reach us at our website, BibleDifficultiesAndAnswers.podbean.com, or you may reach out to me directly at our email address, BibleDifficultiesAndAnswers@gmail.com, with any questions, comments, concerns, fits of righteous indignation, or just to say hi. Also, please like and subscribe to this podcast, and also write a review and give it a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or your podcast venue of choice. It really does help get the word out about the most amazing book ever written. Again, I'm Lance Smith. Until next time, I wish you good luck, good health, and God bless. So long, everybody.